What a blessing to have a praise team that is so filled with God's Spirit and the gift of God. And then we are able with them to come before the throne of God and experience this joy. And I thank God for that. That's how He cares and takes care of His congregation. We're in this little series called Life Begins at the Cross. We started last week, and we read from Mark chapter 8, and we're going to read from Mark chapter 8 again, the same passage. Are you going to do this for the next 7 weeks? No, I won't do that. I won't do that to you. That'll be wild. But we are going to do the same passage. We're going to go a little further this morning, but I'm going to read a bit, and then I'm going to speak, and then I'll read a bit of the passage again, and then I'll speak, and then I'll read a bit again. I'm sure Grace will keep up with me. Thank you for that last minute thing that I don't know how I missed that grace, but thank you for your grace. Mark chapter 8, verse 27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked them, "Who do the people say I am?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptizer." Remember, I don't like the Baptist thing. "Others say Elijah. And still other, one of the prophets." "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And then Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. So by now you know from last week, it's been a hectic time for Jesus and the 12 disciples that were with him. So he took them to a quieter place called Caesarea Philippi, way up north, I told you, where the source of the Jordan River is, by a place called Banias or Panias, because there's this huge cave for the god Pan. And in the cave, you go in and you go into Gehenna or Sheol or the underworld. They had all these other gods, statues of the other gods. So it's an interesting place for Jesus to ask the question about, who do the people say I am, with all these other gods that are all around in Caesarea Philippi? But it's not just the disciples that are there with Jesus. If we look closely at the text, you'll see that by now there's quite a following going with Jesus. And the thing about Jesus is, he doesn't just look at the numbers. He looks at the hearts. And he knows that many of these who are following him are not doing that for the right reasons. And that's why he asks the question, so who do these folks say I am? What's the reason for following? Because Jesus knows that some of these, and forgive these words, I'll explain them a little later. Some of these who are following him are consumers and not followers. And by now you know that following Jesus has huge benefits. And that sounds wrong. It sounds like an OU plan. Let me explain what I mean with that. When I follow Jesus, and he becomes the Lord of my life, and he becomes everything in my life, here are the benefits. I learn to forgive more easily, like he does. I give so freely of my gifts and my talents and my time, like he does. I serve enthusiastically in the body of Christ. I experience this thing called the fruit of the Spirit that speaks of loving and kindness and gentleness. These are the benefits of following Christ. Your life changes, becomes something that you could never, ever make it. But the thing that we're going to talk about this morning is there's a second thing to following Jesus. When I follow Jesus, it's not just the benefits, but it's also the costs. Because if I decide to follow Jesus, it's going to cost me. That's how it works. So we're going to talk about that piece this morning. The benefits you have, benefits you know about. the cost is a little more. So it's interesting that after talking and asking the question, then of course Mr. Peter answers the question, the one we did last week, when Jesus said, so, okay, you told me what they said about John the Baptizer and one of the prophets, that's fine. Who do you say? Because you have been following me quite well. And Peter then had this beautiful moment. You are the one. And we spoke about you are the one. If you missed that, go listen on the website and you'll get the background to what we're doing today. You are the one. And it says, if Jesus wants to say, okay, Peter, you've said that now. Now let me give you the fine print to what that entails. So read with me the fine print. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, and maybe he saw some shock in their faces, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said, for you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Following Jesus has a cost. Following Jesus is not just the moments where we're on the mountain and we see the bread multiplied and the fish multiplied. It's not just the moments of walking on the water with him. It's not just experiencing God's miracles and healings. It's not just coming to the gates of Jerusalem and there's the palm branches and the hosannas. Following Jesus, he says, read the fine print, will take you to Jerusalem. And can I just say this, when we speak Jerusalem, it's not just the Jerusalem that he's on his way to, it is also our Jerusalem. And you know what our Jerusalem is, because I've preached it before. Can I remind you, in the book of Acts, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes to you, then you will go back and you'll be there and receive that. And then you will be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem. Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. What is Jerusalem? Our Jerusalem is the place where we are, the place where we are known, the place where we care, the place where we love, the place where we live, the place where we work. That's our Jerusalem. Jesus says, following me does not just take you to the mountaintops and the fish. It will take you to Jerusalem. And it's going to take me to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, they will kill me. They will reject me. They will nail me to a cross and will put me in a grave. And then, of course, there's this interesting moment of our friend Peter, who puts his foot in his mouth always, doesn't think before he does. And he calls Jesus aside. Jesus, what's all this negative stuff going on here? Did you have a bad day? I know it's been a little dreary out there, not a lot of sunshine, but can we get a little bit of the positive? Let's sing a little kumbaya and maybe you can multiply some bread and we can be good again. Don't do this. And then, some of the harshest words in the Bible. When Jesus says to Peter, verse 33, get behind me, Satan. I want you to look at this image for a second. Satan is the deceiver. Satan is the liar. Satan is the one who is always trying to prevent God's kingdom. But look at the other image. Get behind me. If you want to follow me, Peter, I'm the one who leads. You're the one who follows. Because the moment you think, Peter, you can lead, you're doing what Peter wants and not what God wants. Because that's what you're thinking about. You're thinking bread, fish, water, wine. Up to now, Peter, it seems you've been doing okay, but I think you got it wrong. You're acting more like a consumer than a follower. So let me explain the word consumer. A consumer disciple is someone who is only in it for what they can get out of it. Don't say all this stuff. You need to be with us. You need to. consumer. Follower is a different story. To be a follower of Christ means that I'm going to go where Christ takes me. That doesn't mean it's always going to be easy or comfortable or pleasurable. It does mean that it will always cost me something, because I'm going to go where He's going and not where I think I need to go and what's good for me. So Peter, get behind me, because right now you're not thinking of you, of me. You, Peter, are only thinking of you. And discipleship, following Christ, starts at the cross, means that I walk and you follow behind me. It's kind of a scary picture, isn't it? But that's what it means to follow. So now he explains this, and last little passage I'm going to read with you. Then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life," or the Greek word psuchos means soul, you can use the word soul too, "will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Following Jesus means that I will often come to crossroads or forks in the road. And the moment I come to the crossroads and the forks in the road, there are always moments of tension, because they always ask a question of choice. What am I going to choose? If you follow me, says Jesus, you have a choice to make. Are you going to do what you want to do? Crossroad? Which one am I going to take? Or are you going to, and he uses that beautiful word that we spoke about last week, are you going to deny yourself in your life? In how you live, in your generation, and do what I want to do? There's the crossroad. To follow me means to make a choice. What is the choice? You cannot be a consumer. It's not going to work. Will you follow me? That means yes to me and no to you. And then he adds a little onto that, which is really, really scary. He puts the two together. He says, you got to deny yourself, then you got to take your cross. So remember, I said that last week, and I've said this a million times. When the Lord speaks of taking up your cross, it does not mean, oh, we all have a burden to bear. That's not what it means. In those days, when someone bore the cross, it meant one thing and one thing only. You're on your way to some hill, and you're going to die. That's what it meant, carrying the cross. You're going to die. So he says, crossroad, make the choice. Will you deny yourself? Will you make me number one and you number two? If you do that, you know what's going to happen. You're going to have to die for yourself. Because if you do not die for yourself, what are we going to do? Kimberly, I'm going to choose me, right? So if I don't want to choose me, I'm going to have to learn to die for me. So that when I die, he comes and he rises in me, and he lives in me, and I become like him. That's the choice at the crossroad. Is it me or is it Jesus? If it's Jesus, then it's you, Lord, and I die, and you become number one in my life. And I think in that moment, maybe one of the John 6, 66 moments happened. You know what's in John 6, verse 66, right? All of you know that. I'll buy you a Tim Hortons if you know. And some of those who heard the words, says John 66, said, these words are too difficult. Who can do this? And many of those who were disciples turned away and left Jesus. That's John 6:66. And I think this was one of those John 6:66 moments. Hearing this, I think many of the consumers said, it's fine to do the mountain, and it's fine to see the miracles and all these things. But this cross thing and dying and denying thing, maybe I can't do that. Because I have so much of life to live. And life is such an amazing thing. How can I not just live my life? How can I? Here's the thing, folks. The life that so many people cling to in this world. Can I say this, and I'm not being facetious, and I'm not trying to be funny. The life that so many people cling to, you know what? It's going to end. This life, it's going to end somewhere. We can exercise as much as we want, and we can do good diets, and we can do the supplements, and that's good. Take care of your body, because it's God's temple. But at some stage, this life inevitably is going to end. But says Jesus, as you live this life, and in this life, you know that you are going to let me lead, and you will walk where I want you to walk. It might mean that you might lose friends. It might mean that you might lose something that you thought was really valuable in this world. It might even mean that you lose this life that people so want to cling to. Can I tell you what? If you walk with me, all that you lost will never compare to the life that I will give you. Because that life is not a life of this world that ends here. It is a life everlasting. And the loss of the things of this world can never compare to the gift of God that God gives to those who die and deny and then live in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the cost of discipleship. So Michael, I was looking for you up there. I can never leave you alone. Because Michael says, so make it practical, Aubrey. I'm going to try, brother. Thank you for allowing me to do that to you. Let's make it practical. Scott Peter asked me yesterday after we had creative worship. He says, what are you preaching on? And I gave him the Coles notes and I said, this, and here's the practical. The main thing we're going to learn tomorrow is salvation is free. It's a gift. You cannot buy it. You cannot pay for it. You cannot bargain for it. Salvation is God's free gift that God gives through the death and the life of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And He comes and He gives salvation as a free gift. But number two, discipleship will cost me. And I have to pay the price. Sounds hard, but it's not that hard. Discipleship will bring me to the place where I need to make the choice. Am I going to say yes to God and no to me, or no to me, or no to God and yes to me? There will be moments, my friends, if you choose to follow and get behind Jesus, where you might have to say, I'm sorry, but I can't go there, and fill in the blank where there is, because Christ would not want me there. There will be moments where I will have to say, I can't do that, and fill in the blank, whatever that might mean, because Christ would not want me to do that. It might be that in a moment when He calls you to follow, He'll say, go, And you're thinking, I can't leave my mom and dad. I can't leave my place. And you have to go. It might be a moment where God says, stay. And you're thinking, Lord, I want to get out. They're driving me nuts. I can't do this. And God says, stay, because that's where I need you. You might look at this wonderful proposition, and it seems like this wonderful job opportunity, and you know that you have to say no, because that's not where God would want you. Because discipleship is not consumerism. Discipleship asks a cost to follow where Christ would go and where Christ leads. It's not easy. That's why he talks about denying and dying. And I know that, and sorry, best example is always the worst example. I know that in my own life, only child, grew up in small towns. Then I go to university for the first time. Big city, big university, free as a bird. So there's all kinds of things that you can do. You can go drink with the guys. You can go do all kinds of smoking with the guys. You can go do all kinds of things because there's no one to see you. There is. Because when I was a little boy, 12 years old, I heard the Lord say, you need to do my work for me. And I said, yes, I will follow you. And I had to make choices, and it was really, really hard. I lost a lot of friends. It was hard sometimes to feel like the outcast because you didn't want to do these things, because I knew this is not what God would want of me. I can't do that because I made a choice to follow. And some days you're mad at God and you're angry. Why can't I just do that? But it was my choice. Because he calls. And if we answer, there is a cost. I will get life. And I will receive all of God's gifts. But I have to walk his walk. Let me end. There's a story that I read of a pastor. There was a young man in their congregation, went to university, came out of university, went to this TV place that he wanted to work, a little bit of a co-op. They had him in a little room there. And then they said to him, we'd like to offer you a job. And he was so excited because he needed this job. And they gave him the job, and he realized that he would have to sit in a room and he would have to watch some internet stuff that was really not good. Things that did not work with who he was as a Christ follower. And this young man said, folks, I'd love to work for you, but I can't do that job. And they said, if you don't want to do that job, see ya. And they kicked him out the door. 5 months later, he still had no work. So the pastor asked, can I use this example of you as a Christ follower being prepared to pay the price? And the young man said, please do, but you need to add something to this. You can't stop there with, I said no because I'm going to follow Christ and I haven't had a job in the last 5 months. I need you to tell the folks that I have not needed anything in this time, that I've continued following Christ. He's been taking care of me. And he says the verse that has been in my heart and in my life is the one from Jeremiah chapter 29. And you know it well. That's not the, yeah, there we go. Wrong verse, 29:11. Don't worry, Grace, I've got it. Don't worry. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He said, that's what's been keeping me going. But here's the thing, folks. Can we just stop there for a moment? This is a beautiful, beautiful text. When life is good and the bills are paid and I have a job and everything is working well and my kids are good and I'm doing good and everything is fine. But that's a different kettle of fish when you have no job. And the bills are piling up outside like that young man.
And you can still say, you tell the folks that I don't need a thing because I live from this word. God says, I have a plan for you. And my plan is to prosper you and to take care of you. But it might cost you. Salvation is free. But to follow Christ asks to deny, to take a cross, and to live his life. There's a cost, but it's even more costly not to follow. Because life begins at the cross. Amen. Take a few moments of silence.